Very appropriate gospel, don't you think, for the feast day of St. Francis and his story of his life. He is the son of a pretty wealthy textile merchant in the town of Assisi, and grows up with the finest of things, but ultimately hands all of that over and becomes a simple, humble beggar. Does he do it because poverty is great and having nothing is wonderful? No. All of the government programs and all of the efforts of the Catholic Church to help to end poverty speaks to us about something other. Francis embraces poverty because he has found ultimately what his heart longs for and desires. It's easy to let go of other things if you have something to fill your hands with. Funny, I'll use this very simple example. You know, the danger of thrift stores is that everything is cheap, right? You find something that's kind of what you're looking for. Ah, it's cheap. I'll buy it. You know, what's a few dollars? And after months of shopping thrift stores, all of a sudden you find what it is that you truly longed for, and you're like, oh, I've already gotten this other thing. It's like, that's all right. It's cheap too. I'll just buy that and I'll give away the other thing, right? I can be generous now. It's like, I finally have what I truly long for. Poverty in and of itself is, it's not a good, my brothers and sisters. Francis is able to be poor, radically poor, because he has encountered the one that his heart desires, and in meeting him has been filled to the fullest of all that he has, all that he needs, and therefore is able to be absolutely disconnected from material wealth and prestige and power. See, we often try and do it backwards as Catholics, as believers. We think we must embrace this discipline of poverty in my life. I must embrace this discipline of this and embrace this discipline of that, and therefore, you know, prove my Christianity, prove my worth as a good believer in Jesus Christ. No, that's just asceticism, my brothers and sisters. Even Buddhist monks do that. It is the profound encounter with the merciful love of God, the gift of God, that then allows poverty and chastity and obedience to be a part of our life. But we get it backwards. First is an encounter with the love, with mercy, with the one that our hearts desire, and then we are set free. It's not the embracing of poverty, chastity, and obedience that brings us redemption. This may scandalize some of you. I kind of hope it does, because it's very important that we understand this the right way. There's nothing wrong with poverty and chastity and obedience as a discipline of life after we have encountered the fullness of God's love. You can gladly let go. Our relationships ordered rightly because we have a relationship with God, a relationship with the possessions of our thing, because we know our identity not in the possessions that we have, but in the one who possesses us. Do not fear obedience under the one that loves us profoundly, making an offering of our freedom in obedience because we are most radically loved. by the one who sets us free. Don't try and do any of that stuff without the love of God, without first encountering him, or you will become very frustrated. Either you will do it in order to try and earn his merciful love, which is what makes it merciful love, it is a gift. Or two, when you fail over and over and over and over to achieve these things on yourself, your self-esteem will be wretched and broken. Neither one of these are a true disposition, an authentic disposition before our God. We rejoice so overwhelmingly in the example of Francis, who encountered the merciful love of God and was set free. My brothers and sisters, no matter what your calling in life, some of you here in the church may be called to be Franciscans, but mostly probably not. But you are called to live in radical freedom, in a simplicity of life, in a chastity of heart, according to your state in life, and a radical freedom from the possessions of life. This comes to us first and foremost by Jesus being first in our life. I said this is connected to the gospel. I didn't even talk about the gospel, but basically Jesus is saying all of these goods, the home, family, father, honoring our deceased, all of these goods of life, they are not as good as he is. And I'm sure he shocked the heck out of many faithful Jews when he said that. The kingdom of heaven is so much greater than all of these things. So my brothers and sisters, first things first, receive this radical, incredible, all-encompassing, merciful love of God. And when your hands are full of that, you will be free. You will truly be free. Amen.